जय राजा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बल्लव मन जारी गोपी जन बल्लव मन दारी यशोरानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोरानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तेरा मंचरी यमुना तेरा बनचारी उज्जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी
నిత్యాలయ ప్రవిష్ట అష్టతర సత శ్రీ శ్రీమనిష్ట పాండే శ్రీ భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి ప్రభుపద్ కీ జయ్ శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధా శ్యామ సుందర గోపా గోపిన శ్యామ కుంద రాధా కుంద కి రఘు గ్రంథ కీ జయ్ గ్రంథరాజ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతాం కీ జయ్ గౌడ భిమందే ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Boy, that sounded so good. Let's do that one more time. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Boy, if I could just leave this body listening to all of you kids chant Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya, I'm sure I'd go right back to Godhead. All right, we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. Verse 11th canto, chapter 18, verses 26 and 27. We'll chant the Sanskrit for verse 26. Naitad. Naitad. Vastutayam. Pasyad. Drishyamanam. Vinasyam. I'm sorry. Vinasyati. Ashakto. Chitto. Viramed Iha Mutram Shikir Sitat Naitadvashtutaya Pasyad Vishyamanam Vinasyati
Ashakto Chitravirame
Ihamutra Chikirshitat
Naitadvashtutayat Pasyed Drishyamanam Vinasyati Ashakta Chitto Viramen Iha Mutra Vichirshitat.
Please chant. Nah. Nope, sorry, go ahead. No, go ahead. Nah. Never. Itat. This. Vastutaya. As ultimate reality. Pasyet. One should see. Drishyamanam. Being observed by direct experience. Vinasyati. Is destroyed. Akshata, without attachment. Chitta, whose consciousness. Viramet, one should be detached. Iha, in this world. Amutra, and in one's future life. Chikir Shatat, from activities performed for material advancement. Translation. One should never see as ultimate reality those material things which obviously will perish. With consciousness free from material attachment, one should retire from all activity meant for material progress in this life and the next. Purport by Srila Prabhupada's disciples. One may doubt how a gentleman can retire from family life and live as a beggar eating meager food stuff. Yes, one may doubt that. The Lord here responds by stating that sumptuous or palatable foods, along with all other material objects such as the body itself, should never be seen as the ultimate reality, since they are obviously perishable items. One should retire from material programs destined to enhance the quality of one's illusion, both in this life and the next. Yat etat atmini jagan, mano vyak pranasam hatam, sarvam mayeti tarkena, svastas tvakta natet smaret. One should logically consider the universe, which is situated within the Lord, and one's own material body, which is composed of mind, speech, and life air, to be ultimately products of the Lord's illusory energy. Thus situated in the self, one should give up one's faith in these things and should never again make them the object of one's meditation. Purport. Every conditioned soul considers the material world to be the object of his personal sense gratification and therefore considers the material body to be his actual identity. The word taktva indicates that one must give up one's false identification with the material world and the material body, since both are merely products of the illusory potency of the Lord. One should never again meditate on the material world and the material body as objects of sense gratification, but rather should become situated in Krishna consciousness. Looking at things from the eternal point of view, the world is simply illusory. The material energy of the Lord is devoid of consciousness and thus cannot be the basis of actual happiness. The Supreme Lord himself is the only absolute conscious entity. He is absolutely self-sufficient, standing alone as Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only Vishnu, and not the insignificant workings of material nature, can bring us the actual perfection of life. Om Gyanati Madandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chaksuhan Milita Minatasmai Sri Guru Venamaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pandum Lam Jayati Girim Yakripa Tamaham Bande Sri Guru Dinitardino Vanchakalpa Turubyascha Kripa Sindhu Bahibacha Patitanam Pavani Vyo Vaishnavi Vyo Namo Namaha Jayasi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Siyadvaita Gadadhar Shivasiti Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. There's repeatedly in these two verses the use of the word obviously. Obviously you have your homework done today, right? Obviously you brought your lunch for school, right? Obviously, you took a bath when you got up this morning, right?
Yeah.
So these are all things that are clear. Oh, well, it's true. There's no question your homework's done. There's no question you've got your lunch. There's no question you took a bath when you got up. So these are things that are just accepted, yeah. So obviously, the material world's not a source of pleasure. Obviously, the material body is temporary. Obviously, we're not going to get any happiness there. By the use of that one word, we can understand the type of people this is speaking to. Now, if you go out into the secular world and you go to, I don't know, I always use this reference point, Lowe's, where I work, or to, you know, the university or to the grocery store, and you tell somebody, well, obviously, the material world can't make you happy, they're going to look at you like you're crazy. Because first of all, they have no distinction between the material world and the spiritual world. And second of all, they are convinced, as it says in the second purport here, they are convinced that the insignificant workings of material nature will give them the perfection of life. If I just get that perfect job, if I just get that bank account, if I just marry that person, if I just live in this community, then everything in life will be fine. But everything in life won't be fine. Because the material energy, by the nature that it is material, is going to disappear. And only the spiritual energy is going to be left. Now, this is the purpose of human life, to develop this type of consciousness and live a lifestyle working in this manner. And these particular verses in this chapter are there to indicate to us how to achieve that at the end of many years of being married and raising children and having a business and all of this. Now, this is all a little bit of future indication for all of you. And for some of us, it's the immediate future. I mean, the immediate present. But this group of verses, they're about the process of detaching ourselves. And if we look at them, well, quite frankly, they're a little depressing. Because they're really, really hard and, you know, seemingly impossible for us to accomplish in this day and age. I mean, merging ourselves into the fire and giving up everything we have to charity and living in the forest and just begging and wearing bark and, you know, all these different things, you know, that are expected after you've done your brahmachari life and after you've done your years as a grihastha, and now you're going to go to the forest and be a vanaprastha and live like this. So as my wife, who was a very avid listener to the class and follower of the morning Bhagavatam readings, was said to me the other day, this verse is so heavy, all it does is make me depressed. So, I mean, in one sense, yeah, we hear these descriptions in the Bhagavatam about how to advance in spiritual life, how to give up our attachment and go, all right, well, next birth right around the corner for me. There's no hope for me. But, as I noted last week, we are actually blessed to be living in this age of Kali Yuga. Because this age of Kali Yuga gives us a very unique opportunity to go back to home, back to Godhead. I mean, the fallen condition of all of us here in Kali Yuga, you know, each of the students, maybe you can raise your hand because I've talked about this with you all. Maybe just describe one of the symptoms of Kali Yuga. Who can tell me a symptom of Kali Yuga to people in this age? Say again? Yes. Another one? Gurunga? Greed. This side of the room? Yes.
Envy.
Yes, jealousy. These are all symptoms of Kali Yuga. What are some of the qualities that the people in Kali Yuga have, according to the Bhagavatam? Unhappy, yeah. What else? Well, Bhagavatam lists unlucky, unhappy, unfortunate, misguided, short-lived. In the first canto of the ninth chapter, it says, the mass of people associated with the age of Kali are born as low-class sudras and are low-born, ill-trained, unfortunate, and have bad association. This is the basic description of all of us in the age of Kali Yuga. So if this is what we've got, how is it that being in Kali Yuga is an advantage to us to go back to home, back to Godhead? You would think that these verses from the Bhagavatam are more important for us to understand because they're going to teach us how to get out of that. But to use the phrase, we have a golden opportunity. And why do we have a golden opportunity? Because we are living in the age of the golden avatar. And that golden avatar is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So just, you know, this week we're going to be celebrating his divine appearance. And this is a great opportunity, a very important time for us to understand the blessings that we've received from him. In the age of Kali Yuga, the necessity of going and living in the forest and wearing tree bark and matted hair and begging, you know, from, you know, hermitage to hermitage and, you know, all of that type of thing, we don't have to do those difficult and troublesome processes. We simply have to chant the holy name. How does Mahaprabhu request us to chant the holy name? In a humble state of mind, thinking ourselves lower than the straw in the street and more tolerant in the tree. So not just to chant. Yes, chanting is good. Just chanting is good. Just saying once the holy name can deliver one. But to develop perfection in that chanting, just as to develop perfection in this process of vanaprastha described in the 11th canto, 18th chapter, there is different things. Do this, do this, do this, do this. To develop perfection in the process of chanting, there are three qualities. To be humble, to be free of ego, and to be tolerant of all situations. Now, quite honestly, this is a pretty tall order. And some of us might even think, maybe I should just go back to wearing tree bark and, you know, matted hair and begging. It might be easier for me to do that than to develop these three qualities. But we have a special means of being able to bring those qualities into our chanting, and that is the Panchatattva Mantra. Srila Prabhupada sometimes referred to the Panchatattva Mantra as the clearing mantra. The Panchatattva, they come and they give us this opportunity of removing the offenses. Because who's the head of the Panchatattva? Which student can tell me? Who's in charge of the Panchatattva? Who's the leader of the Panchatattva? Who? Lord Chaitanya. Yes, that's correct. Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya wants us to leave this horrible place. He wants us to go back to home, back to Godhead. He wants us to enter into the divine Kirtan Lila. So therefore, he makes it very easy. But there are certain things that we have to do. And these verses, they do indicate one thing that is the general mood that is important. We may not have to wear the tree bark and live on a tree and matted hair, but we do have to give up material attachment. Now, the kids here, they might think, okay, for my mom and dad, that's good. They have to give up their material attachment. Because, I mean, after all, I'm just a kid. What am I materially attached to? Your bicycle. Your book bag. Your pencil that somebody else is using right now and had better give back to you. Right? All of these things. We're attached. And then ultimately, we're attached to this body. We're attached to so many things. But the detachment is necessary for us to develop these three points of how to chant. Now, we just mentioned them, so let's see how good you were listening. What are those three points of how to chant? Three things we have to have in our chanting. One, humility. Nope, he got humility.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna is what we chant. Yes, yes. Humility is one. Tolerance is the second. Free of ego. Yes, these are the three things that we have to have in our chanting. And how do we develop these qualities? One way we can develop these qualities is by looking at the lives of our previous acharyas and seeing how they lived their lives and how they manifested these qualities in their own lives. Their example was there for us as a means of getting out of this world, detaching ourselves and getting out of this world, just like today. We're celebrating the disappearance day of Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri was a very great power for Acharya, and his life is a very, very wonderful lesson to us. Factually, in the life of Madhavendra Puri, there's no information available about his early years, his childhood, his approaching, the process of devotional service. Like we see some complete biographies on some of our Acharyas. Madhavendra Puri, not so. But we understand Madhavendra Puri came to set the stage for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya is considered to be the gardener of the tree of devotional service. Have you all heard that term before? That tree of devotional service is Madhavendra Puri. Sometimes we read in Krishna Leela somebody was this gopi and in Gaura Leela they incarnated as this devotee. Or that this was a parent figure in Krishna Leela and they appeared as a parent figure in Gaura Leela. In Krishna Leela, Madhavendra Puri was a Kalpavriksha desire tree, fulfilling all the desires of everyone. And he appeared as Madhavendra Puri in this life, in this pastime of Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu would then learn from him, would receive through that disciplic session the process of cultivating the tree of devotional service. So he's one of the seniors, one of the parents, one of the gurus that appeared before Mahaprabhu. We know from the Chaitanya Charitamrita that whenever Krishna appears, that he sends down his elders before he comes. Right? I mean, you didn't come until your mother and father came. So it's a very practical system. So he arranged for all these people, people like Madhavendra Puri, Ishvara Puri, Sachimata, Jagannath Mishra, Advaitacharya. These are all the senior devotees in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya that appeared before him. All of these devotees are very important for setting the stage. Now, when Madhavendra Puri appeared, he actually had a great influence in the pastimes of Mahaprabhu because of who he accepted as his disciples. He had many, many different disciples. And these devotees were there to help bring about the platform that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would appear in. He himself was a disciple of Lakshmipati Tirtha. And Madhavendra Puri's disciples, some of them, Ishvara Puri. Which of the students can tell me who Ishvara Puri was? Lord Chaitanya's spiritual master. How about Advaita Acharya? You all better know this one. Remember the Panchatattva? Yes. Who else we have here? Pundarik Vidyaniti. We've spoken about Pundarik Vidyaniti in the past. These are all senior devotees. Brahmananda Puri, Ranga Puri, Raghupati Upadhyaya, Ramchandra Puri. Oh, Ramchandra Puri, we'll talk about him a little bit later. So these were all disciples of Madhavendra Puri. And the prominent disciples, the two prominent disciples, were Ishvara Puri and Advaita Acharya. And they both had two different moods. Their moods were different to bring about different types of devotees. The mood of Ishvara Puri, he took up the mood of conjugal love, of that highest rasa between Radha and Krishna. And the mood of Advaita Acharya, he took up the mood of servitor and friendship. These were the moods that each of them brought and developed in their devotional life. And of course we know that ultimately the disciple of Madhavendra Puri, Ishvara Puri, became the spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now Vrindavan Das Thakur, we've spoken about him sometimes, Vrindavan Das Thakur, he described that the body of Madhavendra Puri was filled with divine love. And that that same divine love manifested in all of his followers. Just like Srila Prabhupada had immense compassion on the fallen conditioned souls by coming to America from Vrindavan. Leaving Vrindavan, where he could have very happily sat and chanted and gone back to home, back to Godhead in due course. But leaving that and coming and giving Krishna consciousness to the conditioned souls of this world. And therefore, as his followers, we have that same mood of sharing Krishna consciousness. So in the same way, the followers of Madhavendra Puri had that same mood of divine love that he had. And Madhavendra Puri was so steeped in his high level of Krishna, he would see a dark rain cloud. Now, if we see a dark rain cloud, what do? Pull out the umbrella. I don't want to get wet. Time to go inside. Recess is over. When Madhavendra Puri would see a dark rain cloud, he would fall into a swoon of ecstasy, realizing it reminded him of Krishna. This is how advanced he was, described by Vrindavan Das Thakur. So, from this tree of Madhavendra Puri, the fruits of Krishna consciousness were relished by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, there's a very nice description of Madhavendra Puri meeting with There's a very nice description of Madhavendra Puri meeting with Nityananda Prabhu. They had both been on pilgrimage. Madhavendra Puri, with his large number of sannyasi disciples, had been traveling to all the different holy places. And Nityananda had also been traveling to the holy places. He had left home at a young age and had now gone on his own to different pilgrimage sites and was preparing himself for when he would go to Navadvip and meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It describes that when they saw each other, that immediately a mood of ecstasy developed in both of them. They embraced each other because they were godbrothers of Lakshmipati Tirtha. So when they saw each other, they were so happy to see each other. And that ecstasy that they felt in each other's association caused them both to become completely mad with love of God. And all of the different symptoms of ecstasy manifested on their body, and they fell to the ground unconscious. Nityananda Prabhu, it was quite by accident that they met. It wasn't anything that was arranged. It was understood that Madhavendra Puri saw the pastimes of Krishna enacted within the body of Nityananda. And Nityananda felt that same way towards Madhavendra Puri. As they lay there motionless on the ground with all the different symptoms of ecstasy manifesting, the disciples of Madhavendra Puri chanted to them and brought them back. Nityananda said, I can now understand that all of my benefits from going to the different holy places are perfected by seeing you. Madhavendra Puri said, I feel the same way. Both of them considered that the darshan of this other personality, who they thought to be more advanced than themselves, was the benefit of their complete pilgrimage. This is how they saw the importance of association. In this way, they began to discuss all the different topics of Krishna consciousness, even to the point that disciples like Ishwar Puri, Brahmananda Puri that were there, they were not able to understand some of the high topics they discussed, but they felt this amazing love in their own hearts manifesting for Lord Nityananda. So although they themselves had met many saints, they also considered that this darshan with Lord Nityananda, this is the perfection of our life. So for days, Nityananda continued to travel with Madhavendra Puri and his disciples, and they discussed all the different pastimes of Krishna. You can imagine, I mean, just think for a second. You're in the association of Madhavendra Puri and Lord Nityananda, and you sit down and hear them have Bhagavatam class. That would be an amazing Bhagavatam class, not like the one you're hearing right now. That would be an incredible Bhagavatam class. Lord Nityananda and Madhavendra Puri discussing the pastimes of Krishna. Wow. Day and night, they were like two drunkards. Sometimes when we go on Harinam, like this past weekend to that monster truck festival, or sometimes at a football games, the people come, they've had their tailgate parties, and they're quite intoxicated and making great fools out of themselves. And it's very detrimental because it has nothing to do with improving their lifestyle. Nityananda and Madhavendra Puri were so steeped in the remembrance of Krishna and manifesting such deep symptoms of ecstasy, they appeared to be two drunkards, just laughing and calling out the name of Krishna. So this is one of the ways in which we can see the symptoms of devotional service are the source of everything. These other activities these people do, that's simply because they have no real nectar in them. They're temporary, as this verse we read today describes. And they place their value in that. But here, Madhavendra Puri and Nityananda are showing us the real value to be placed is in the pastimes of Krishna, in talking about the pastimes of Krishna. In this way, all these different manifestations would arise in them. Madhavendra Puri and Nityananda traveled like this, as I mentioned, for some time. And then, after due course of time, Madhavendra Puri continued on his journey, and Nityananda, he went separately. Actually, Nityananda was headed down to South India to the bridge that Ram arranged over to Lanka. He was going down there for darshan at that holy place. And Madhavendra Puri went off in a different direction. And both of them still completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness. It mentions by Vrindavan Das Thakur that anyone who hears the account of Madhavendra Puri and Nityananda's meeting with faith and devotion attains the treasure of love of Krishna. Now, if I say to you, I have a treasure, would you like it? Everybody says, yes. What is that treasure? I'll take it. Yes. Because we're thinking, okay, well, if I get a treasure, then I can do this, I can do this, I can buy that, I can get that, I can go here, I can go there. But here it mentions that the treasure is love of Krishna. All right, we're all devotees. You can have the treasure of love of Krishna. Yes, yes, I want that. I want that. So what do I have to do? Just hear the pastimes of Nityananda and Madhavendra Puri. Just hear the pastimes? Well, there is one caveat. Hear them with faith and devotion. So if we hear these pastimes of Nityananda meeting with Madhavendra Puri with faith and devotion, then we get the treasure of love of God. How simple is becoming Krishna conscious? You don't have to wear bark. You don't have to match your hair. You don't have to go around begging from one place to the next and live under a tree in the forest and give everything you have away to this one and that one. All you have to do is listen to the pastimes of Nityananda and Madhavendra Puri with faith and devotion, and you'll get love of God. I mean, do we doubt the words of Chaitanya Charitamrita? Do we doubt the words of Vrindavan Das Thakur? This is what's given to us. This is how easy. This is why we are so fortunate to live in the age of Kali. Okay, unhappy, unborn, short-lived, miserable, blah, 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 all these different bad qualities. But look what we've got. These personalities appeared in Kali Yuga for the deliverance of the fallen conditioned souls like ourselves. And by hearing about them in this way, we actually get great mercy. Now, there's a very, very famous pastime of Madhavendra Puri, which is described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita in the Madhya Lila. And if we started right now, which I plan to, speaking about it, we could probably go on for 2 hours talking about the discovery of the Gopal deity. But you all have school and I have work, so we're only going to touch on highlights of it. At Govardhan Hill, Madhavendra Puri was going every day, circumambulating. I love it when I can work Govardhan Hill into a storyline. And Govardhan Hill, he was going around every day, circumambulating Govardhan Hill. And just before Govindakund, now at Govardhan, Govindakund is the place to get mercy. This is the place where the Charnamrita coming off of Krishna, provided by Aravata in the form of water and Sarabhi in the form of milk, this is where that all came down and filled a big kund. So it's considered to be the kund of forgiveness. This is where Indra came and begged, you know, I'm sorry, I really blew it to be, you know. And so in this way, this place is very, very special on Govardhan Hill. And just before that place is a... what was at this time, there's no forest hardly anymore there. There's three forests on Govardhan Hill now. So at this time, it was all forest. Madhavendrapuri stopped there. And he was sitting under a tree and he was chanting. He was chanting very nicely, drawing everything very wonderfully, remembering the holy name. Krishnadas Kaviraj describes that the... verses glorifying Madhavendrapuri are like a kashtubha jewel. They are the real poetry. And that even reciting a few words from these verses in the Chaitanya Charitamrita can give one great, great benefit. So, you know, this is the mood that Madhavendrapuri brings to our Krishna consciousness. So, in this way, Madhavendrapuri was sitting there, Govardhan Hill. And it was revealed to him, somehow I'm going to have to condense this long story, which is so wonderful to tell every detail of. But anyway, Krishna revealed to him that if you go to this one place, you'll find that I am there. I have been hiding for some time. We all know that when the Muslims invaded, many of the deities were hidden in different places. Sometimes they were put in personal families because they didn't bother the families mostly. Sometimes the deities, the pujaris, took them out and put them into the bottom of a kund. Imagine that. You're the pujari for the deity and the invading Muslim troops are coming and you have to take the deity out and let him drop to the bottom of the kund. How heartbreaking that must be. Sometimes they would dig a big hole and put the deity in the ground and cover them up so that they wouldn't be found. So, in this way, you know, Krishna came, revealed to Madhavendrapuri that I've been hiding here for some time. I'm in the brush, in the thicket. You know, there's that type of prickly vine that has the stickers on it. We have that around here too, and you get that. Sometimes when you walk around Govardhan Hill barefooted, if you go too close to one area or another, you get those stickers in the bottom of your feet. So all of this, he said, I'm residing in this place during the summertime. It's very hot. I'm uncomfortable. During the wintertime, it's very cold. There's no shelter for me. So, you know, you please, you come and get me and bring me out of this. So, in this way, Madhavendrapuri organized the local villagers. Bring your shovels and rakes and picks and saws and let's go to this place. So, just when you're taking the Govardhan Parikram path, the inner Parikram path, as you come up on the back side there, just before Govindakund, this is the place, there's an actual... like a small little temple at the site where Madhavendrapuri found the deity of Gopal. That place used to be surrounded by a big brick wall, and you could only kind of climb up and look over the wall to see that place. But when I was there this last Karti, they took that brick wall down, so it's very easy now to see this place of Madhavendrapuri finding the deity and go and circumambulate that place, and then continue on in your parikram like that. So, you know, in this way, Madhavendrapuri discovered the deity and got all the villagers, and they brought the deity out, and they arranged to take the deity up to the top of the hill. So all of the instructions there had been, you know, given to Madhavendrapuri how to do this. So they brought the deity, carried him up, put a big stone slab and set the deity on that, and then set another stone slab up as a backdrop, you know, like behind him. And then Madhavendrapuri organized all the residents to come and bring all of their different milk products. And they began to bathe the deity. First they bathed with water, with milk. First they bathed with milk. Then they bathed with yogurt. And after the yogurt, they bathed them with ghee. And after the ghee, they bathed with honey. And after bathing with honey, they bathed with sugar water. and then different types of juices, and then hundreds and hundreds of pots. It was a line of villagers formed from Govindakund all the way up to the top of Govardhan Hill, where Gopal's Abhishek was going, with pots. Like in a fire brigade, you know? Quickly, we have to put out the fire in the body of Gopal. He's been burning in the heat for so long. Quick, so much water. Bathing and bathing and bathing. Just imagine you're there helping with this, and the water is being splashed. And this is a good-sized deity. It's not just like our small deities. Sometimes when we do our Abhishek here, those devotees that sit in the very front, they get splashed with the water, right? Oh, ecstasy. So just imagine this big deity, the water is being poured. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of buckets are being poured on the deity, and it's splashing all over the devotees. There's one devotee, when we installed Srila Prabhupada's deity form in the Samadhi in Vrindavan, I can't remember the year now, we had a big snan vedi that Prabhupada was sitting on, and there were buckets underneath that had to be changed. There was one devotee who was the temple commander of Vrindavan at that time. His name was Kadambakanana. Now he's Kadambakanana Swami. And Kadambakanana was responsible for changing the buckets. One bucket in, one bucket out, one bucket. Because there were hundreds and hundreds of devotees bathing. So it wasn't like here where, okay, every 10 minutes you have to change it. Oh, maybe somebody forgot it, floods on the floor. Hundreds and hundreds of buckets. Milk, yogurt, honey. Milk, yogurt, honey. Juices, ghee, water. When he came out at the end of it, his entire body was drenched as if he had had an Abhishek. And I said to Kadambakanana, I said, Prabhu, look at you. You're completely covered in all the substances that come off of Prabhupada's body. He said to me, yes, that was my plan from the beginning. That's why I took the service. So just imagine, you're there, Madhavendra Puri and all of his associates are bathing like this. And so then after bathing, they dried the deity off, cleaned him up very nicely. Some of you don't know this, but during the Abhishek ceremony, the deity becomes a little sticky. You know, you're putting all kinds of substances on. So when that curtain goes up, what's going on back there? Well, we take bananas and we rub the deity's body in bananas, because bananas absorb all that stickiness. And then you bathe more water to wash the bananas off, and all the stickiness on the body of the deity goes off. Then Madhavendra Puri came forward with scented oils and tails from the cow, and used that to polish the deity's body with different oils very nicely, so it was very, very shiny. So in this way, he organized that all the devotees, all the Brahmins would come. They brought 900 pots of water for the deity to drink. This is how thirsty. Imagine, Gopal's been in the ground for hundreds of years. He's very thirsty, 900 pots of water. All the different substances, fine oils, everything. So then, after the Abhishek, what happens? Time for the Lord to eat. So they give some simple offering with incense and lamps and little sweetmeats afterwards, but then they prepare the big offering. So all the stock of food from the local village of Govardhan, all the rice, all the dal, all the vegetables, all the preparations covered Govardhan Hill in the offering, kind of like the Anakut ceremony. There's that section of Govardhan Hill called Anayor. Everybody knows why it's called Anayor? Why, Takarani? Why is it called Anayor? Prabhu? It's because Anayor means give me more, give me more, give me more. So in this way, this whole area was covered with all the different substances. He engaged 10 Brahmins to learn how to properly cook. Madhavendra Puri initiated Brahmins and taught them how to worship the deity. This is the importance of understanding deity worship from a proper source. Showed them how to cook. 5 of them would cook all the dry and liquid vegetables, and 5 of them, 10 more, would cook all the food grains. That's how much prasadam was being made. Krishnadas Kaviraj gives a very, very elaborate description in the Chaitanya Charitamrita of this, and all the huge quantities of chapatis. Just imagine stacks of chapatis, 10, 12, 15 stacks like this. Hundreds of chapatis in a stack. Really quite amazing. We've got to get a new mic stand. So in this way, they brought all the chapatis and then all the different kinds of sweetmeats. The sweets at Govardhan Hill are extremely special. There's a Govardhan sweet shop there that they make the most wonderful sweets for Giriraj. So all of these different things were all brought and performed in the ceremony. All kinds of nice scented water for Gopal to drink. And then Madhavendrapuri arranged everything and gave everybody their different services, gave all the different villagers opportunities. But then the local villagers, they heard, and they said, well, we want to make offerings to Gopal too. So they brought all of their collection of food grains and vegetables and sweetmeats and made offerings. And then the next village, oh, we want to do also. So everybody was bringing all like this. Everyone was chanting, Jai Gopal, Jai Gopal, Jai Gopal, and offering all these amazing foodstuffs. The children, all the way up to the elderly people, were given the prasadam. Prasadam was given to everyone very freely. The Brahmins, their wives, all the children, everyone was fed sumptuously. All the different villages surrounding Govardhan Hill got to come and offer prasadam and then take that same prasadam from Madhavendrapuri's deity Gopal. Madhavendrapuri became very, very happy because he saw the influence that Gopal was having in the lives of the local villagers. This is the purpose of deity worship, to see the influence that Radha Shyam Sundar have in our daily lives, how we remember them throughout the day, how we come before them in the morning, see them and have that form fixed in our mind as we go about the rest of the day's activity. Some of us aren't able to come in the morning, so we're very fortunate to live in this age where there's cameras that can show us the deity in the morning, and we can have that fixed in our mind. So many different opportunities to have Krishna fixed like this. So this brought Madhavendrapuri great happiness to see everybody loving the deity like this. So he instructed a handful of people how to carry out the deity worship. Because, of course, Madhavendrapuri is a traveling sannyasi. He's not going to stay here forever. So he arranged all this different worship and taught everyone how to do and explained each village their opportunities, how to take up service to Gopal. In this way, even the very wealthy people as far away as Mathura, they brought all types of articles for puja, silver and gold and special scented items and all kinds of wonderful things. And then eventually cooking utensils were brought and boundary walls were put up and a temple was constructed. And every family in Braj Mandala donated one cow. That means every family had cows, not a cow, cows with an S at the end. So every family gave one cow. Okay, here's one cow for Gopal's Gosha, because Gopal's going to have a lot of dairy products. So all of a sudden, two Brahmins appeared from Bengal. Bengalis are very, very good at pujas, so they were renounced brahmacharis, and they were given the responsibility by Madhavendrapuri of how to take charge of all the deity worship like this. So in this way, the worship of Gopal was very, very gloriously performed. So it's a very, very wonderful pastime, very elaborately told in the Madhya Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita. I encourage every devotee and all of you kids, when you go home, have your parents read this to you, read it yourself, read it to your parents, whatever the case is. It's a wonderful, wonderful story for remembering Madhavendrapuri. Now, eventually, time came for Madhavendrapuri to depart from this world. And at the time of leaving this body, usually the body begins to break down. It doesn't function so well. We see this a little bit as old age sets in. Different functions in the body don't work as good. You can't jump as high in kirtan. You can't run as fast. You can't see as good. You can't hear as well. You have to get hearing aids and glasses and knee braces and all these different things. But sometimes the internal organs also go. And in Madhavendrapuri's case, things started breaking down, so the devotees were serving him. And serving him with the greatest humility was Ishwarpuri, his most prominent disciple. Two prominent disciples. One was Ishwarpuri. Who was the other? Advaitacharya. Yes, thank you for listening. So Ishwarpuri was there, and he was taking care of his spiritual master in the most menial way, cleaning up when he would have to use the toilet and arranging for changing his bedding and taking care of feeding him. All of these same things that so many dear, dear disciples of Srila Prabhupada did when he was departing from this world. And in this way, Madhavendrapuri gave him the greatest of benedictions, that he would become the spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, there was another disciple there also. His name was Ramchandrapuri. Ramchandrapuri had one very, very well-known quality. Now, most of the time when you describe, oh, there was one devotee who had this good quality, we want to listen. Oh, what is that quality? I want to develop that quality. In this case, you do not want to develop the quality that Ramchandra Puri was known for. He was a criticizer, a fault finder, always pointing out the shortcomings of others. So we don't want to engage in that behavior. A matter of fact, he was so crooked-minded, you could say, that at the time of his spiritual master's departure from this world, he instructed his own spiritual master, oh, why are you crying? Madhavendra Puri was crying in separation of Krishna. And he said, why are you crying? Just remember Brahman. He was instructing him like this. And Madhavendra Puri said, if I leave this world seeing your face, certainly I will not attain the goal of going back to home, back to Godhead. Get out. So this is not the type of blessing we want from our spiritual master, to be told, get out. We always want to be in the association of our spiritual master. So in this way, Ramchandra Puri was criticizing him and banned from the departure. And Ishwara Puri, on the other hand, was serving very nicely and given this great opportunity to be in the association of Madhavendra Puri at the time of his departure. So these are just some brief pastimes of Madhavendra Puri. We've had to capsulize them for, you know, staying in time with the class. And, you know, it's an opportunity to just encourage us to read more and more about his activities today and prepare ourselves as we get ready for Gaur Purnima and understand these personalities that came before Mahaprabhu, came for the purpose of setting the stage, of establishing a foundation upon which the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could take place. So thank you very much. If there's any questions, comments, probably corrections, you're more than welcome to. Oh my goodness, the hands are up. Okay, we got three. Oh, we got four. Ramiya, well, okay, yeah, just pass it around. One, two, three, four. Yeah, don't forget Mother Ragatma, go over there.
Hare Krishna, Guru, thank you. How do we understand that the spiritual master's body is spiritual, then he undergoes seeming tribulations of old age and debilitation?
Srila Prabhupada explained that it's the spiritual master giving an opportunity for the disciples to develop attachment and to give service. I mean, everything in this world is temporary. So the spiritual energy is present, but the body is going to diminish. You know, because the spiritual master's pure spiritual energy has entered into that body, the body is spiritualized. Just like this Bhagavatam, this is a spiritual book. But it's not eternal. Eventually the pages will fall out of the bounding. Eventually the edges will fray. And in due course of time, when you turn the page, it'll crumble because it's become so old. That's the nature of everything in this world. So that's how we can understand that. That's how Prabhupada explained it.
You were speaking about the Gopal deity. Where is he located now?
I was afraid somebody was going to ask me that. It's the city of... it's not the Jaipur deity, it's the other one. Nathdwar. Thank you. In Nathdwar, yes. You can go and have darshan of that very beautiful deity. So, Mahaprabhu? Oh, Margatmagamata?
Excuse me. You said that after the bathing of the deities, then you use bananas. Is it the banana peel or the bananas?
Banana itself. Peel the banana and take the banana and rub it on the form of the deity. It soaks all that up.
Do you know if that's done when they bathe the big Panchatattva in Mayapur?
I would imagine it is done. It's an important thing to do to take off all that stickiness. I've never had the good fortune of being at an abhishek for the big Panchatattva. That's probably a few kilo of bananas.
Yeah.
I would imagine, yeah. One more question from Somar Prabhu, and then we'll finish.
Actually, it's a comment.
Yes.
I heard this from Janani Vas in Mayapur.
Oh, this has got to be good then.
Yeah. You know, there's the... I can't remember the verse, but there's one verse where it says that Lord Chaitanya and Madhavendra Puri could understand it, no third person could understand it. It's so intimate. And Jnanivas was saying that Madhavendra Puri was a kalpa vriksha tree, but he was in the mood of Madhurya Ras. And he was a kalpa vriksha tree in Nidavan. And Krishna would go at night with Radharani to have him have pastimes under this particular tree. And nobody else would be allowed to be there. So it was just Radha, Krishna, and Madhavendra Puri. So that was something about him.
That particular verse you're mentioning is given here. It's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalila. O compassionate Lord of the poor and humble, O Lord of Mathura, when will I see you again? Without seeing you, my heart has become very much afflicted. O my beloved, I am overwhelmed. What shall I do now? Yeah. Madhavendra Puri and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srimati Radharani, those three, not a fourth. Yeah. So we'll finish there. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.